All right, let's go into a few stretches that we kind of love. I think we can focus specifically on lower back pain because.
What about posture?
Stretches for posture too? Sure. Maybe they're somewhat related.
I'm sure they are.
All right. Well, so let's take three. How about this? This is something I didn't plan. I'm just making it up on the spot. That always goes well, right?
Woohoo!
All right. Three movements, exercises, posture, stretching, each of us suggest for what we think people should do. Not necessarily for lower back pain, but what they should do to help increase flexibility, mobility, and posture.
You're listening to the Addicted to Fitness podcast, brought to you by Elemental Training Tampa. Now, here's your hosts, Nick and Shannon Birch. Thank you for checking out this week's edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast. We are very excited. We are coming at you today from a new home studio.
Woo!
We actually have our own room now. Yeah. So there's a door and everything.
You won't hear dogs walking around or cats jumping up on the desk or anything.
No, likely not. No, you'll just hear this because Nick decided it was very, very smart to bring in a glass of beverage with a metal straw.
I'm pretty smart.
I'm just saying. Usually I'm the one that gets the small
things.
You're
right. I figured I would take that over for this week.
Well, and on the topic of scoldings, I don't know if you ever got perhaps a talking to from your parents or some sort of parental figure when you were younger about posture.
Mm-hmm.
Sit up straight, lift up your chin, chest out, whatever it might have been. I definitely got the slouching, especially when I was like sitting down or like, you know, I'd turn into like the mush on the couch and just mold. Well, we're going to go back to that and we're going to talk about posture, why it's important, and also how even as an adult, you still have time to change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got to talk about kind of like a comprehensive posture, stretching, flexibility episode. You know, we're going to pack it all in a small bit of time to give you some reasons why you should be caring about your posture.
Yes.
It'll affect all aspects of your health. So before we do that, we want to jump on in to our training recaps. This week, I was back to the strength training. Got some good upper body workouts in, some bench pressing. One thing that I wanted to talk about in addition to all the strength training is trying to do a lot of core training too. Always important part. I mean, we're going to talk about the core when we get into our discussion about posture and stretching. But there's one exercise in particular that I'm in love with. And we actually discovered this. We did this exercise together when we were on our recent vacation. I'm talking about the dead bug.
Oh, yes.
The dead bug exercise. Everybody,
you talked about that.
Yeah, it's a great exercise, and you can do it with multiple like different types of resistance equipment. So sandbag, resistance bands, stick. The stick mobility dead bug is awesome. So I did a lot of those this week because I've been having I like doing stuff from plank or from the push-up position.
Yeah.
But like my right shoulder has been a little bit tender. Yeah. So laying on my back so I don't have to flex my trunk or, you know, kind of extend my arms is good. So I was like, oh, the dead bug. So if you guys are wondering what the dead bug is, your like hands are straight. You're laying on your back. Your legs are bent at a 90-degree angle, cast parallel to the floor, hands shooting up to the sky, and really kind of there's variations of it, but also you kind of reach and extend the opposite arm and leg at the same time. And that kind of reaching, getting your heel and the back of your hand as close to the ground as possible really requires a lot of core stability.
It does. And from muscles that you don't frequently work because it doesn't just focus on that superficial layer of core muscle. It focuses on the deep, like, mm-hmm. support core.
Yeah.
And core.
Yeah, your core, exactly. Your core is not just your abs, folks. Core wraps around, includes obliques, lower back, parts of your glutes. So don't think your core is just your abs. You don't have to just do crunches. In fact, there's so much more for core exercises than just crunches. And honestly, we're going to get into it. I hate to keep alluding to what we're going to talk about, but
constant teasers.
The crunches and the sit-ups may not be conducive to people who have some maybe lower back stiffness.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of my core training. What about you? What did you get into?
Well, let's see. I hobbled around for the first part of the week pretty well. And I'm happy to say that I woke up this morning for the first time in a week since I broke my toe.
Mm-hmm.
And I could actually walk without a really bad limp. So, and it didn't hurt. I actually went on a walk with Ella and the dog this morning and took the longer walk option because I didn't have any pain.
Nice.
My sprained ankle has definitely healed up. It's got a lot of stiffness. I definitely need to do some very, very gentle stretching again.
Teasers.
It's all connected, folks.
Yep.
But my toe, even though it does not bend, it is not as painful. It used to be sharp pains every time I tried to even think about moving it. And now it aches, but it's not bad. So
I don't have to get rid of it.
I don't have to chop it off, folks. Yep. I get to keep it. So excited.
I gave her a week. I said, if it's not better in a week, we'll just chop it off. So I think she got it under the wire. So
yeah. No, I was really worried.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, I celebrated that fact today, not just with a walk, but as soon as Ella went down for her nap and I cleaned up, I jumped on the Peloton and I did a 30-minute ride and then I did a nice like 10-15-minute ab and stretch.
Yeah. Oh,
so it was.
Didn't know what stretches you did.
I know.
Oh.
Yeah, I have my favorites that I go to because I know what parts of my body normally are tight, but I will say one part of my body that is frequently tight is my lower back.
Yeah.
Surprising. It took me going through yoga teacher training to understand why, when you sit all day, your lower back hurts.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, why did I never put that together?
Right.
It kind of, once you understand, like, the anatomy aspects, you kind of, you're like, for shame. Like, right. For shame, Shannon. I didn't realize any of this before.
Yeah, and this is something like let's those were our training recaps. I say we've been teasing enough. Let's jump into the big topic of discussion because we got a couple different things, and we're just giving a little bit, probably a little synopsis of each area because it's so I wouldn't say complex, but it's very involved. There's a lot of different avenues you can go, and definitely different schools of thought. I mean, obviously you coming with your yoga background, me with stick mobility, and me learning more about things like functional range conditioning, dynamic body stretching, all kinds of different types of stretching and mobility. So the first thing that you alluded to when we did our intro was about posture, sit up straight, all that stuff, all those kind of different basically orders you were given when you were younger.
Which are not actually good orders.
Yeah,
so
that's true. That's right. So
all those people told me.
They're talking about posture. Like obviously when I, not obviously, I shouldn't say that, but when I do assessment for like a new potential client, I have them do a couple movements, including just show me what their normal posture is. So
they're
having
relaxed,
just stand in a relaxed state, and I'm looking at their kind of their head, shoulders, back, spine alignment to see, because usually
to hips, yeah.
Yes, exactly, to the hips. You can usually there's a couple different two main ones for that what I'm familiar with, and you might jump in with some other ones, but like the C-shaped spine, which is the rounded shoulders and kind of the protruding head position, chin position. And then there's the S position, where there's a huge, the kind of real big curvature in the lower back.
You know what we call that in my yoga training?
What do you call it?
Sassy ass.
The sassy ass, yes.
That's
so
a sassy ass.
The S shape or the C shape, those are kind of what we refer it to as, and we do a little bit more professionalism in the personal training than the yoga, apparently. But yes, so those are kind of the postures that that we kind of can see mostly, but, and then of course, I vary, like something where in between, which is what we considered neutral posture. So yeah, a lot of people that suffer from either the C posture or the S posture can either, like with me, I think I have a little bit of a C posture. Obviously, I've gotten better over the years, but I have a lot of tension in my neck and my upper back. And then the reverse S posture is what I found. A lot of people have a lot of their tension in their lower back, just as you can kind of think about the spine alignment. So
yeah.
There are things, and we're going to talk about what you can do, and we actually looked at three different articles on MindBodyGreen, one of our favorite websites, and we're going to kind of see, compare them to what we think about for posture. So I'm going to throw it over to you as far as posture control.
Well, and something to think about is why your posture is bad. So versus just saying, oh, this is my posture, and I should just do some exercises. It's kind of critical to understand why your posture is bad before you start to figure out how to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of our posture is learned behavior repeated over time due to common things that we are doing in our lives. So it actually, your body, like it, the muscle memory aspect, it starts to take on those frequent habits as your ongoing neutral, quote unquote, neutral position. And the muscles that, you know, are supposed to be doing one thing are getting tightened in certain areas and pulling. So when you have that curved spine, you do end up kind of getting like you get the text neck.
Yep,
you get a lot of tension in your shoulders, because you're basically, it comes from a lot of looking down. So looking down at your phone, looking down at your computer, as you can imagine in our culture today, there's a lot of things that we're looking down at. We don't actually keep our chin lifted and our spine aligned in like a proper neutral position, because we are frequently jutting our jaw forward and looking down. And that causes your, like all the muscles in the back of your neck and through your shoulders to then tense up, because you're pulling forward and they naturally want to pull you back.
Mm-hmm.
But then over time, they start losing their ability to do so. So every time you do try to straighten up your posture, you end up with sore muscles because they've lost kind of their natural ability. Same thing on the lower back. A lot of people with lower back issues actually have a lot of either, it's due a lot of times to the fact that they sit
a lot. Yep, that was kind of what you were talking about earlier.
Yeah, and because you are in that 45-degree angle with your legs out and hopefully your back is somewhat. 90-degree
angle, right?
Yeah, 90, 45.
This is 90.
90. Just kidding. If you're 45.
45 is this.
Let's hope you're not 45.
Yeah.
But same thing where all the muscles in your front body basically are shortening.
Mm-hmm.
And your back is having to do a whole lot more to stabilize you, because when you stand up, your muscles are still contracting you forward. The longer you sit, the more those muscles just start shrinking, and the harder it is for you then to actually straighten up. And your back muscles, your lower back muscles especially, are working really, really hard to try and keep you upright.
Yeah.
So, I mean, thinking about like elastic bands, like the more and more they shrink, the more your muscles have to try to pull to stretch those out again.
Yeah, we kind of refer to it as, a lot of people say, oh, my lower back is tight. That's true, but we talk about it as an overactive muscles because they're working all the time. So that's why they're really tight. Obviously, yes, they're getting stretched, like Shannon said, but we refer to that as essentially overactive because they're just working all the time, because you're like you said, you're at that 90-degree angles from your lower back into your hips that connect from the whole posterior chain is connected, lower back, glutes, hamstrings, all the way down from calves and Achilles. So especially when that link between the hips or the lower back and the glutes is bent like that, you're naturally going to have a tighter back.
Yeah.
Tight lower back, excuse me.
Yeah. And you're going to also want to possibly round through your shoulders to sort of round out your lower back sometimes when you sit, to be more quote unquote comfortable. But then again, you're just setting yourself up for further problems down the road. Mm-hmm. So it is a myriad of connection and just, yeah. So thinking about the behaviors that have set you up to what your current posture is, also thinking about changing your behaviors and then treating posture. So yes. With that speech, now we can talk about how you actually work on your posture.
Yeah. So what would you say? I mean, like right off the top of the head, try not to look at this article because I did glance at it and there was like all this stuff that I think we would say. But like for posture wise, and you've already alluded to it, try not to sit for long periods of time.
Yeah.
Try to get up. If you obviously it's hard for people that work office jobs, but start doing some laps. And I think, and I haven't really worked an office job ever, but I feel like the more people I interact with and talk with is that they're essentially trying to build in those times where they have to walk during the day. And I know you talked about maybe in your office a little bit. I know it's a big thing when you were pregnant. I was trying to tell you, now, hey, got to get up, got to walk a little, especially for you. It was super important. You know, you holding that extra weight in the front and just the fact the circulation and everything was so important.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that there's been a lot of improvements in office setups, especially over the last probably 5 years. You're not stuck. Like a lot of offices will cover laptop stands. They'll even get the standing desk extension. So if you don't have like one of the fancy desks that rises up, which like, by the way, I just bought one for home. I'm so excited.
Yeah, we got to put that on Instagram.
Oh my gosh. That's going to be a story all by itself.
Facebook Live it or something.
And I got an external monitor as well as a separate keyboard so that I don't have to stretch and like lean. And then also a laptop stand to elevate my laptop for my standing desk.
Crazy.
So, I mean, this is a setup.
That posture.
This is what I've done at my office over the last few years, probably like 2 years. And I've noticed it's made a big difference. Yep. Not just like the posture thing, still something I have to work on. But I will say that it has massively improved my lower back pain.
Yeah.
So I think that was a huge win, just getting things to eye level so that you're not looking down so much, getting yourself vertical for at least parts of the day. I find that I work differently standing than I do sitting. Mm-hmm. So I have to kind of roll with that during my work day.
And I mean, a few things that I think those are great tips about like kind of incorporating during your work day, especially for those office workers. Getting up, moving, getting the standing desk, getting the other type of equipment that would help you kind of improve your posture. But a couple of things that said in this article on Mind Body Green was hold your phone higher. That's a huge thing. Text neck, what we talked about earlier. They said try to sit without crossing your legs. Be more squared off. I think, like I said, it's another one of being almost adding to the overactive of the outside, like the adductors on the outside or the hip flexors.
Particularly an offender for women.
Mm-hmm.
My anatomy teacher was adamant about not crossing your legs.
So interesting, because I just heard them talking about on the podcast this week about how men, their anatomy of their hips,
they're more square.
They're basically built to sit with their legs open.
Yeah.
So it's just, I was like, oh, it's very interesting because apparently people were giving guys crap for
having the wide sitting stance.
Exactly.
Crotch to the world.
It's anatomy. Okay. Uh-huh. It's not our fault. It's anatomy. All right. So yeah, those were some of the tips they have. And oh, of course, then they go right into strengthening and stretching exercises, which I think we're going to jump into next about kind of our do's and don'ts for stretching. So somebody like yourself, being a yoga instructor, someone like myself, being a personal trainer who loves mobility and, of course, incorporates stretching and mobility in every workout for all his clients, what do you think are do's? Let's start with the do's of stretching besides try to do it every day.
Yeah. Try, especially when you have been sedentary for a while, don't go crazy. I guess that's a don't. I did a don't.
Yeah, that's okay. What we would say. Yeah, it doesn't matter if it's a do or don't. Let's just roll
I would
it.
Say after sedentary time period, so this is like you're sitting in your office for a while or maybe you just watched a movie If you've been sitting for more than like a half an hour or you just woke up from your night's sleep, do some very gentle stretches just to awaken and stimulate your body. And don't do not aggressive stretches, but just gentle stretches and gentle movement.
Yes.
Because so, that movement's going to wake up your muscles so that you can do a little bit of stretching and then actually help activate
some more active movements.
Yes.
Like not, it doesn't have to be crazy, like moving around, but
not like a high intensity. Like,
yeah. But thing. Kind of opposed to static stretching.
Yes, that's I would like, say gentle movement.
Yes,
after like, the sedentary period. Exactly,
and that's another thing that people may not understand, the difference between active stretching and mobility and static stretching. So static stretching would be like holding, basically lengthening a muscle and holding it for a desired period of time, where it would be 10 or 20 or 30 seconds.
Yeah, like you see people doing like on like a runner's track or something, you'll see them stretching out some muscles.
Yeah, so like that, the one of the traditional standing quad stretches where you bring your heel to your butt and you pull that quad, which, you know, is obviously not a favorite of mine or Shannon's, as I see with her reaction. There's definitely better
so many things that you could do wrong.
Yeah, the couch stretch, I like the couch stretch, which you're definitely in that similar position, but there is some other things you can do. But that's the difference between static and active stretching. Like Shannon says, you don't want a static stretch from a cold position.
No.
Usually, if you do want a static stretch, do it, especially not even after you've been moving, but usually like at the end of workouts, I'll throw static stretches at people. There's a lot of research. I shouldn't say a lot. There is research that says, like, especially for sports performance, you don't want to start with static stretching. Some researchers said they don't even, some athletes don't stretch at all, maybe, but they do warm up. They do like movements, mobility drills, like line drills, kind of walking. There's walking knee tucks, kind of walking butt kickers, things like that that act as their stretches, but they're just not, everybody thinks stretching, they think, you know.
They think of like bending over and touching your toes or like sitting in a V and then forward fold.
Yes.
Yeah. That is pretty old school.
Right. So those are kind of the different terminology for stretching. All good, but there's good and better times to do them than others. So another one that I would say is definitely a don't, and I know it's in this article, but I was going to say it, is don't stretch an injured muscle. So like if you're strained or anything, you strain something, do not stretch it. Don't think that stretching it's going to make it better, okay?
Yeah.
There's a difference between tight muscles and injured muscles.
Yeah.
So you definitely need to know the difference, and that's when you hopefully you have somebody that's a kind of a professional or a pro that can let you know. There's a dog barking.
I know,
in
we're
our
just
new
saying.
Studio.
They're like, oh, this is going to be great. We're not going to have any dog noises.
Yeah.
And there's like a frantic little chihuahua yapping outside.
Which is really
outside.
Rare. I don't know Never where it's coming it. From. But, yeah, so definitely don't stretch any injured muscles. I think Shannon kind of, we talked about it last week with her ankle, even though she probably didn't, she definitely strained some ligaments and stuff down there. But what we did was ice and heat. We used a CBD robe, too. We just tried to, and then compression, so. You know, the old school rice treatment, rest, ice, compression, elevation. Even though I've heard lately that the guy who made up rice has gone back now, is taking it, rescinding it. But I got to do follow-up research on that because I heard that from a secondary source. So.
Well, I will say that I think it definitely helped compared to the last time I had my sprain, which was a lot worse. But I think that the swelling was minimized, and overall, especially the compression, which I've never done before, that actually did help kind of at a key point, really felt like it was supportive, and I think that was good.
Yeah. One thing I think they talk about in this article, and I think it's good, and you would probably support it, is, and this is goes for a lot of not only stretching, but, you know, it goes for exercise and stretching, is don't hold your breath.
Right.
You know, a lot of people.
I saw that and I was like, oh, geez.
Yeah, a lot of people, when they get into poses, and I'm sure Shannon knows when people get into yoga poses, they try to go up to like a down dog or something like that. They go up there and then they stop breathing. And it's like, not only are you basically kind of, I don't know, I'm sure you filled your lungs with air and then you're just holding it there. So no longer your abs and stuff are not contracted anymore.
Yeah.
But then you're basically, you're not getting the oxygen to your muscles to kind of allow them to relax or kind of breathe into the stretch. Because a lot of times, and I'm sure Shannon, I don't want to keep putting words in your mouth, but the yoga, there's a lot of connection to the breath.
Very much so.
So, and I always tell people, especially with exercise, you got to keep breathing. You got to sync your reps up to your breath. That's a big thing.
Prana. And there is actually an entire section of study called pranayama. And it is all about the different breathing techniques and its various impacts on your body and your mind. So,
nice.
Yes, but it is a few things. Usually you find people holding their breath when they're like really overextending or they're incredibly focused and like they're doing a more difficult, challenging posture for them. They have a tendency to think that holding their breath is going to allow them to keep in that position. It's going to like freeze their muscles and allow them to hold it if they hold their breath. And I guess in a way that makes sense in your mind, but actually, yes, if you breathe, especially if you're breathing from like a vinyasa, so when you're breathing with the movement, so you're inhaling and you're exhaling with the movement, matching your breath to the move, that actually can help allow you to extend further into a pose. You can actually breathe into your stretch. And I'm sure you've seen it if you've ever taken a class where someone said, you know, reach to your stretch and then you're holding the stretch and then they have you breathe a few times. And each exhalation, it feels like you're getting a little bit closer and closer to that fuller extension of your stretch. And that is really kind of what the breath is there to help with. But it also clears your mind and keeps your mind clear because you're continually supplying your brain oxygen during probably a challenging moment. So you're able to keep a pretty clear head too, which is a, you know,
yeah,
benefit, I think.
And people are not trained to hold their breath and exercise at the same time. It's like they think for some reason holding their breath is going to help them concentrate more. It seems to focus. They think to focus them more, but they do that and they burn out like that. Yeah. Whenever, especially with me telling people, and it's obviously it's not stretching necessarily, but when it comes to boxing,
yeah.
I tell people you have to breathe, sync up your breathing to your reps as your punches.
Yeah.
Because if not, you're going to be burnt out like that. It's going to be over quick. You're not going to be able to last. You have to keep that breathing pattern up, or you're just going to be burn out like in 30 seconds.
Best if you make example. It's very similar to boxing, though, actually. Swimming.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely.
Same thing.
Yeah, you're not supposed to hold your breath when you go underwater.
Yeah.
And when you put your head underwater, you're supposed to constantly exhale while you're underwater. And then when you turn your head, you breathe. Yes, you don't hold your breath when you swim. That's another thing that people are kind of one of those misconceptions. Don't hold your breath when you swim. You have to blow out. You have to exhale when your face is underwater, then inhale. That's when you build lung capacity doing it that way.
Yeah.
So, all right, let's go into a few stretches that we kind of love. I think we can focus specifically on lower back pain because...
What about posture?
Stretches for posture too? Sure. Maybe they're somewhat related.
I'm sure they are.
All right. Well, so let's go. Let's take three. How about this? This is something I didn't plan. I'm just making it up on the spot. That always goes well, right?
Woohoo!
All right. Three movements, exercises, posture, stretching. Each of us suggest... for what we think people should do, not necessarily for lower back pain, but what they should do to help increase flexibility, mobility, and posture.
Okay.
You go first. I don't want to steal.
Am I doing one? You do one?
Yeah, let's do it that way.
Okay.
Because then you got to go on the fly in case I steal one of yours.
Well, the first one I have is actually something that I learned from Laura Hyman. She is on Instagram. Let me just double check and make sure her name is correct. She's amazing, especially when it comes to text neck. She's basically, especially in like the yoga world, she's been a real advocate for sort of how drastic it's gotten. Let me see. I save a bunch of her Instagrams. So I have a whole section that's almost like all of her exercises for different moves relating to text neck and posture and stuff like that. And she just has some phenomenal ones. So her name is Laura Hyman. It's LARA.HEIMANN.
Mm-hmm.
That is her Instagram handle. She has a podcast. She's a very advanced yoga teacher, but she started, I think, as a, like, physical therapist, or she came at it from a much more, like, physical science side, and she's applied her understanding, her deep understanding of anatomy to yoga. So the things that she teaches you are absolutely unbelievable. And text neck, she gave the simple, very simple activity. It's not even like hard. Stand against a wall with your neck. You know, your neck will be straight. The back of your head is against the wall. Your shoulder blades are flat against the wall. Your back, your entire back is making contact to the wall. And you can do it with like a slight bend in your knees, or you can do it with like a 90 degree kind of squat if you want, but it's really just about pressing. You focus on pressing your back body into the wall. You breathe and just press into the wall, and then you release, and then you breathe and you press into the wall, and then you release. And the idea is similar to like a dynamic stretch, where you've got two forces. You've got the wall pressing against your body, but then you have all of those points of alignment pressing against the wall, and you're basically retraining your body to push back, and it actually cues like the right way to stand. So you do that for a few minutes, and you just find yourself, you're like, oh my gosh, it's so much more comfortable. Like, you just fall into the right alignment, and you feel like what standing up straight is again, like, because you've had to press your body into that straight alignment, it remembers it for a certain amount of time. And you can kind of do that periodically through your day to help. That's especially good if you have that C shape and you're like, your shoulders and your neck is a big issue.
Yeah.
So the text neck, that would be one major thing that addresses.
Okay.
I thought that was very helpful. I've enjoyed it.
Good. My one is the pigeon pose variation. So the pigeon pose is something, I'm going to try to describe it, but there's different variations. You can lay down, you can be on the ground, and you bring one leg out in front of you, kind of make it parallel to your hips.
Externally rotate your hips.
Yes, so you're basically putting the back side, kind of like your outside of your one ankle on the ground with your shin bone in front of you. If obviously it's going to be very hard to get it parallel to your hips, but it's going to be trying to get it parallel to your hips, where your one butt cheek on one side is almost lifted off the ground until you get to the flexibility where you can put it on the ground, stretching that piriformis into the glutes. But this is somewhat advanced, so you can do different variations, and especially for somebody at an office, you can, within reason, if you have your own office, you can actually put your leg up on your desk, putting the outside of your ankle on the desk to lay it across, and that actually stretches some of the same muscles. It does stretch the same muscles. This is a variation I use for my clients that don't have that flexibility. And then over time, as they keep working towards it, so they gain the mobility and flexibility in their hip and their piriformis muscles, they can start going lower. So we can get a bench like you would do a bench press. Then we would put them on there, and then we eventually can get to the ground. But another variation for the glute and the piriformis is what they call the dead pigeon.
Yeah.
Where you're laying on your back, and essentially you bring your right ankle onto your left knee, or vice versa. You bring your ankle, the ankle bone, onto the knee, and it almost looks like a triangle. We call this triangle, if you know anybody knows jiu-jitsu, the triangle is very similar, kind of the triangle choke is lined up the same way, but except the ankle is underneath the knee, not on top. And then you can also reach in between your legs, grab the shin, pull it towards you to stretch that same muscle that you would stretch when you do the pigeon.
Yeah, I would say one sort of be careful moment is that especially when you're elevating, but in any kind of pigeon position where you've rotated your hip so that your knee is actually, you know, outside of your body in terms of like planes of motion,
mm-hmm.
make sure your hips stay level. Because especially when you're lifting your leg up onto like a desk or something, I do this a lot, like during work, especially when I'm standing up, obviously, at my desk. I will just, it's like almost instinctual that my leg comes up if I'm wearing pants, of course. And I'm able to rest, like I could just stand like that and be completely comfortable. But your hip, you will find that one hip starts to rise up so that your hips are actually uneven. And that can lead to some long-term injury and bigger problems with your hips later on. So make sure you really pull the hip of the leg that is bent and is in front of you, pull it up so that you're not sinking down into that stretch. Keep your hips level, and you can watch for it when you see people mm-hmm. doing it. It's one of the reasons if you take a yoga class and you see people doing pigeon, you might see an instructor go and put a block under a buttock, you know, a butt that's of the leg that is bent. If someone is not flexible enough to get their shin or their front leg, you know, onto the mat, the side of their leg rather, someone will come along and put mm-hmm. a block underneath the right side of their butt because that is going to keep the hips level and it's going to protect your hips. You will get some pain there after a while if you don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And pigeon is also meant to be a kind of a breathe into it kind of position as yeah. well. So,
all right, one more each. Let's go.
I know it's a classic one, but I do think it's probably one of the most important for core and posture is plank.
Mm-hmm.
And particularly plank with your legs pretty close together and a block between them so that you're squeezing the block between your legs. Mm-hmm. Like you put it up like high beneath your thighs or between your thighs and you squeeze that block. It helps keep your lower abdomen contracted and active, and so that it allows you from sinking the hips down into your plank, and then also making sure your shoulders stay pulled down away from your ears, which sometimes it can creep up to do.
Right.
I actually like doing a plank on my elbows because I have some wrist pain sometimes.
Yep.
But any plank, even if it's with knee support, knees on the ground is a modified plank. It is just such an amazing core, and you will find a really big difference in your posture if you stick with it.
Mm-hmm. My final one is child's pose. And we got a screensaver. I've never had that happen on this computer before. I didn't even know he had a screensaver. The child's pose, there's a couple of obviously different variations, but the standard child's pose is great, I think, for lower back and glute stretch. Basically, you kind of kneel down, you're on your knees. I like to tuck my toes, I guess, or lay on the top of my feet or sit on the top of my feet. Some people tuck their toes underneath. The tops of my feet be flat on the ground. I have my knees spread out, and then I push my hips back to my heels and then bring my chest and head down towards the mat and reach my hands out as far as I can. Really sitting back, once again, breathing into that pose. I always tell people to also activate their hands by pushing their palms into the ground to feel it up into their shoulders and their scaps. I've never done that, the hand raise, but that's a good idea. But also, I can also have them cross over. So, like, take one arm with their keeping their hips where they are, cross the right hand over the left to feel the pull down the right lateral line, and left hand over right to feel the pull and stretch down their left lateral line. So
makes me just want to go stretch. Mm-hmm. Like, I can feel the urge in me. I'm like, God, I just want to go do some of these
stretches. So, yeah, those were just a couple tips, you know, that were especially for posture and that back, and then things you can do.
I think we should share one more, because I think we both love it.
Let's do it.
I call it supine twists. It's laying flat on your back. If you pull one knee into your chest, and then, or you can pull, I guess you can pull both, but you then drop the knee or knees over to one side while keeping your shoulders flat on the mat. And your arms are going to be extended out to either side like a T.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to switch after a few breaths or however long you want to be in that position. It is a spinal twist, and it is the most amazing feeling ever when you are feeling tight.
I call it open book. It's a different probably variation. It sounds like you're moving your hips side to side.
No, you're dropping your knees.
Yes, your knees. So you're moving knees,
so one hip opens, like one hip comes to the top, and then the other hip.
So I do the very different variation, which I guess it's probably more of a upper back stretch called the open book. It's where I'm pinching my knees to one side, so I'm laying on one hip. I use my hand. So if I'm laying on my right hip, I bring my right hand up to pinch my knees to the ground. I put my left hand on my left ear and open my left arm to touch it behind me. So my upper back is stretching or twisting, I guess.
Yeah.
Because there's more, you know, you could, obviously there's different variations. Yours is more of a lower back twist. Mine's more of an upper back twist.
Yeah, and I mean, I think I was kind of blending both of exactly. Ours they both into
do,
one.
I think they both, because they do stretch, even though the upper back is moving on mine. They definitely stretch the whole entire back.
But my,
they're good.
My favorite is similar to that, where you extend one arm out, you look the opposite direction, and then you put your legs towards towards that opposite side.
That's good. Yep, that's a good one. I like calling open book. That's the one I like.
I might go do that now.
Yep. All right. So that was kind of a synopsis, a really good crash course, essentially, of stretching, posture, flexibility, mobility. Something
what it's
that
all about.
Yeah, we're all very passionate about it. And I guarantee it, don't just think lifting weights, running, that's all it comes to do. Or that's all you have to do for exercise and feeling better. Stretching, flexibility, mobility is a huge part of that, and it's a necessity.
And at some point, if you're interested in dynamic stretching particularly, I feel like that's a whole other topic I knew it was going to happen. You decide to use a metal straw. But I do think that, like, the dynamic stretching where you have, like, opposing forces and it's as much a strength move as it is a stretch. But it's like you're double timing, and it's amazing. Yeah. We should do much more on that. If anybody's interested, or
Facebook Live, we should do it.
Oh, my gosh. It is life-changing once you start doing that.
Yeah.
And I will say, one of the reasons yoga is so effective, because it's mostly dynamic.
Mm-hmm. All right. I think we got enough inform for this week, enough info. You guys, if you enjoyed this episode, you enjoyed the info we give you, please let us know. Leave us a rating review in the Apple Podcast app, Spotify, on the Addicted to Fitness Podcast Facebook page. We really appreciate it. And we give you guys a shout out for when you leave those reviews, those ratings and reviews.
Yes. And please let us know in the comments what your training recap was for this past week. maybe some of the highs, maybe some of the lows, challenges, exciting new kind of personal records or personal bests, share them with us, whether it's social or in the review section. That is why we are here. That's what we want to hear from you.
All right. Got anything else for them this week?
That's it.
All right. This has been another edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast, and we'll check you next time.
Bye.
For all things Addicted to Fitness, you can check out our website, addictedtofitnesspodcast.com. You can also give us a follow on Twitter, @TheATFPodcast, and like and follow the Addicted to Fitness Podcast Facebook page. Last but not least, please give us a rating and review in the iTunes store. Thanks.
Thank you for checking out this week's edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast. We are really excited. Scratch that. We are super excited.